The Thousand-Year-Old Chestburster. All this and more on this episode of
Godzilla Destroy All Podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in, sit down. I want you to do five junking jack. What's a junking jack? I don't fucking know.
Eating junk food while jumping in the air. I don't recommend it. It sounds like you're going to throw up.
I thought you were like doing straight heroin because they called heroin junk. Don't do that. Don't do five junking jacks. Do five jumping jacks. Here we are. This is Godzilla Destroy All Podcasts. I am your wonderful, charismatic, riz-tastic, and benevolent, ambitious, and ostentatious host.
You had to catch yourself host, there, didn't you?
Logan Vo, today by my small, simple-minded, sanitary, situational friend.
I'm sorry, situational?
Situational.
The hell does that mean?
Guest host, Charles Witherspoon.
Co-host, I'm not missing that.
Uh-huh. What's up, Chuck?
Apparently, I'm situational.
You're situational.
I'm only a friend when it's needed.
You're only my friend when I need to talk to you at work, when I want you to come over and hang out with me, when I want you to go and do stuff with me, and when you have to come over and record.
So all the fucking time.
All the fucking time. You're a situational friend.
And the situation is ongoing.
And the situation is always... This is Godzilla Destroy All Podcast, the podcast where two enthusiasts talk about a certain kaiju, the facts and stats, and break them down the kaiju hacks. I don't know.
It rhymed.
It's something. Chuck, today, Chucky Quack Quack.
On this day of, I don't know the date.
February 24th, 2014.
Yeah, Stardate February.
I haven't really ever watched Star Trek. Star Trek was not my thing. I saw the movies.
I've seen a episode here and there. I had no idea what was going on.
New Generation time. or with the other guy.
I don't.
The old one or the 90s one or Deep Space Nine.
I actually don't know. None of them was with Professor X.
That's New Generation.
Yeah, none of them was that guy.
Okay,
so I'm assuming older.
Probably older than. I've never seen any of the old ones. I saw a couple of the '90s ones. Yeah, no, Star Trek, not my bag of beans.
Yeah, my mom liked them, I think, back in the day, but that's all I can remember about it.
All right. People are like, don't fucking talk about Star Trek on this Godzilla. I know, I'm sorry. 1,000 pardons. I don't know how that came about.
We get sidetracked easily. You know this.
Whatever. This is your first episode. Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the Mudo episode. So we had a fan poll, Charles.
Yeah, we did.
And I'm a little upset by our fans on this fan poll.
And why is that?
Because, so the options, Charles, were...
The Mudos.
So it was Manila, it was Mogura, it was the Mudos, and it was Gypsy Danger. Gypsy Danger only got like 4 votes.
Really?
Yeah, people have been asking for Pacific Rim Gypsy Danger, and we got 4 votes. I'm like, Gypsy Danger's been on the poll like 4... Gypsy Danger's been on like every poll we've done, I think. We've only done like 4 or 5 polls. I think Gypsy was on every one of them.
Maybe Pacific Rim.
Homeboy has never won. Even if you combined all his votes, he's not going to win.
Maybe he's not as popular as we thought he was.
That's wild. I'm so surprised Gypsy has not come close. He's gotten last or third every time. So what I'm upset about is we got to each pick 2 for the poll, you and I.
Yeah.
And my choices were just to troll you, because who do you hate most?
Manila.
You hate Manila. And you don't like the fact that Mogira in canon is stronger than Mechagodzilla.
You know, for that simple fact alone, I probably hate Mogira a little more. I just hate Manila's design more.
So I was like, all right, the fans know what's up. They know I want to troll you, and they're going to have my back. No, they saw the Mudo on there because you brought up Mudo and Gypsy Danger, and they were just like frothing at the mouth for Mudo. And even I tried to sabotage it a little bit. I went and commented, hey, y'all, if everyone who voted for Manila vote for Mogira wins and we control Chuck. And people are like, nah, we want the Mudo episode. So I'm a little upset.
They're on my side now.
Yeah, I'm the little sidekick now, apparently. So this is
probably why you almost called yourself a co-host today.
Shut your fucking mouth. I hate everything about you.
It's your fault.
I'm that picture of the dinosaur stabbing you in the neck. with his thumb. That's
there's no context for them for that. Logan showed me a photo at work the other day of how he feels whenever I frustrate him. And it's just two dinosaurs wrestling with one. I'm just jabbing the other in the neck with his thumb.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's me. I just want to jab you in the neck with my thumb when you upset me.
I know how to get under his skin every now and then, or just generally annoy
him. It's just
him.
More of your, like, you know how to frustrate me.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm a frustrating person every
you
now and then.
You really are, and you don't mean to do it half the time. I'm just like...
No, I don't. I'm just, you know, socially inept a lot of the time.
You know what's happening when I just stare blankly at you for like 4 to 5
yeah,
seconds?
I need the social cue to know when to stop.
And I'm just staring at you, and you're like, oh. I'm like, yeah, my guy.
Like anytime I ramble on about Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh my
God. You just get that blank stare.
There's a couple rules. I'm not allowed to talk about Gundam, and you're not allowed to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh. All right.
I never said you couldn't talk about Gundam. It's fascinating.
It's the rules we have to talk set for ourselves. Otherwise, the whole episode's going to be about that.
Oh, okay. You mean just on here?
Yes.
So I can talk your ear off about it later.
No, God. No. Every fucking road trip. Hey, Yu-Gi-Oh and blah, 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 and this and blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care. I zoned out 48 minutes ago.
And it's a card game with a reference to everything.
We're not talking about this.
Fair, fair.
We're right. Not.
To the Mudos then. Or actually, no. To our... Comment.
I don't even want to be here anymore, Charles.
Oh, too bad.
The Yu-Gi-Oh! Here. Ruined it for me. All right.
We do it for the fans.
We got some reviews. If you want to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read them on the air. I don't know what I'm doing with my voice. I'm sorry. I have a weird energy. I went down to get Jersey Mike's, and it was delicious, but I had to like wait a while because it just opened. So I'm just like,
that's the sandwich place you told
me
about,
I
right?
love sandwiches, bro. Like, sandwiches are like my top three favorite foods.
I shit you not. Someone at my other job told me they went there the same day you did and that it was still packed all day.
How they know I went there?
No, I told them that you had also said you went
there. Why are you talking to me about to your coworkers at this other job I don't work at?
Is he used to work there?
Like 9 years ago.
I mentioned you like once.
Yeah, I don't keep my name out your motherfucking mouth. All right. So,
to one.
Again, review, Apple Podcasts. Leave it 5-star. I'll read it on the air. We have from Iron Texan. Where do you think he's from, Chuck?
I'm assuming Texas.
No, he's from the Iron Islands, actually. Game of Thrones. All right, he or they. Say, great podcast. Amazing chemistry between Chuck and Logan. Again, it's Logan and Chuck. Charles and Logan is acceptable, but if it's Chuck, it has to be Logan and Chuck. Guys, get it together. Anyway, thank you for
the review. I didn't know there was an order of operations.
I broke that down like 6 episodes ago. Like, if you say Charles and Logan, it sounds fine. I'm okay with that. But if it's Chuck, if you abbreviate to Chuck, it has to be Logan and Chuck.
I disagree. Chuck and Logan rolls out the tongue better.
But Logan has to be first in one of them.
That's your preferred preference?
You shut your fucking mouth. All right. Oh, someone did comment, like, you guys swear so much. How is this labeled clean? And, like, it's not. It's labeled explicit. Like, the first
everybody,
episodes.
We had this problem, like, early on.
Like, first year. And, like, those first 3 episodes, 4 episodes, maybe labeled as clean, but the rest have been explicit. So,
yeah.
I'm dropping the fucks. Here they are. Every one of them. All right. Let's get back to this goddamn review. It makes my nights at the German car mill, BMW, word up. Fly by and definitely rekindle my love for Godzilla to the point I have bought so much merch and so many video games, which is funny because my love for Godzilla started with Godzilla Destruction. And here I am now binging the movies, shows, and all y'all's episodes. So far, Kiryu and Legendary Godzilla are my favorites. Thank you so much for the review. Here we have 1995 Goji. The year you were born, Charles. Congrats.
What?
You were born 95, weren't you?
No.
When were you born?
92.
Look at you. You're so old. I'm so old, you old man.
Stop reminding me.
This is perfect. 5 stars. Love this podcast. And you go over kaiju and you guys have amazing comedy. Which is interesting. I don't think of us as comedians or having comedy. I just rip on you for 40 to 60 minutes and people like that.
Honestly, a lot of comedians are just ripping on things for comedy. So that sounds about right.
Sure. Sure. All right. Thank you so much for the review. We have Wandsburg, U.S. Where do you think he's from, Chuck? Or they're from.
I'm assuming wherever you just said.
I don't know. Team Logan, kind of. Okay. I haven't read this one.
Wait, is it Team Logan, kind of?
The headline is Team Logan, kind of. Okay. 5 stars. I have not read this. I'm not sure if I want to read all this or not. My ego. All right, here we go. This may be the best thing known to humanity. You are really good, and I wish there was more content creators like you around. Also, the reason for the title is because I disagree with Logan on one thing. I like Heisei era more than Showa. That's fine.
Yes!
I don't care. That's fine. You can still be Team Logan and be Team Showa or Team Heisei. I don't care. As long as you're Team Logan in the end. But Logan, you gotta admit the Heisei design is way cooler than Showa. All right. Design is cooler, sure, but I like the Showa more. Because he looks derpy and has googly eyes. What's not to love about that? He's a big, the big dumb puppy. Way cooler, especially the Son of Godzilla. The Son of Godzilla suit is fucking jacked. Anyways, keep up the great work and thank God for Godzilla.
Wait. Son of Godzilla or Manila?
The suit from Son of Godzilla was kind of jacked. Go rewatch it. The suit's jacked as fuck, bro. P.S. Chuck, did you know goats are ancestors to cows? Only difference is cows do a legitimate workout?
Is it because they're beefy?
Maybe that's where he's going with that. I don't know. P.S.S. Can you please do Mogira?
Or Mogira? You should have voted.
I wanted it so bad.
Just to troll me.
Oh my God. All right. This.
Fuck Mogira.
Yeah. You are Mogira.
No, we don't say that.
This is from Coyote Kaiju. From one word to two others, 5 stars. Hey there. I recently started listening to Destroy All Podcasts. That's us. Hey. And I'm absolutely obsessed. I'm a huge Godzilla fanatic and a super fan, according to your first episode. Haha. I adore finding creators that genuinely care about the series. And your banter and side conversations about other topics really bring life to your show. You're both hilarious and can't wait to see more content from you, too. Hey, word up.
We do good.
I do good.
We do good.
Mm-hmm. I do great. You do well.
You never let me have any.
No, I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. I'm sorry. I give you a lot of shit, but I love you.
You do. I understand. It's fun.
All right. I put a little comment on the Instagram and the Discord. Did you see that, Chuck?
You did.
Did you see any of them?
Looks like you said Mogura won. Nah, I'm sorry. Muto won.
Wow. Now it doesn't know words about butts.
Yeah, we're both screwing up today.
All right, I said, well, Moodle won the poll. So, you know the drill. Later today, we'll be recording our episode on this four-legged kaiju. I guess technically like six-legged, but, like, he's got four big stompy legs he walks on.
I think he's
on.
Got eight limbs.
Technically, like, all right, so the mom has, like, eight. But, like, you see the walking on all fours. I meant, like, walking on all fours.
Yeah,
which, surprisingly, no one called me out on. Which is fascinating. They're just like, no, we're going to go with Logan on this one. So, yeah, he's got four legs, and then he's got four arms. We'll go with that. That's how I see it. Because his little grabby arms.
I'm imagining, like, Goro from Mortal Kombat with just two extra legs now, but not, like, centaur body-ish.
Dude, that'd be fucking
He's just got, hell. Like, spider leg syndrome going
Rad
on.
Rad as hell. Tell us your thoughts on them, and we'll read some on the show. Go and pick a couple from the Discord. We got
from random user. Too.
Hey.
This is one of my favorite designs. I love how it's a mix of bug and mammal-like attributes. I just wish they had an actual range detect. That would have actually been cool. But it is cool how they were able to weaken Godzilla's atomic breath. Also, we saw a live-action Muto Prime. I'm assuming that's from the show they're doing now, recently?
Yeah, I haven't watched the show yet.
I don't have
Apple TV.
I do not either.
I was actually talking to our friend Everett about it. He's like, he's not a Godzilla fan at all, but he watched that show and he's like in love with it. He's like, you gotta fucking watch it. Like, then give me your Apple Plus sign in.
Yeah, let us steal your account.
We used to steal your internet when we were neighbors. Let me steal your fucking Apple TV.
Is that where we got our internet?
You didn't know that?
No.
Like, he lived in the apartment next to us. So when we had internet, I would just pay him the internet. Like, hey, let us hop on your internet. Here's half.
Oh, that's
pay.
Not stealing if we're giving him money.
It's technically stealing, but yeah.
He's renting his internet.
Yes, we were subletting his internet from the next door apartment. So yeah, apparently it's a really good show. So,
well, if I ever get Apple Video,
Apple TV.
Apple TV, I'll have to watch it.
All right, is that all the comment?
Yeah, that's all for
okay.
That one.
Let me just do a quick I'll do three here on the Instagram real quick. We'll do a couple more on the Discord, all right?
No problem.
Here we go, from Honcho Collects. Very underrated kaiju, great original design, and that EMP power is very interesting. I hope we see more Muto Prime on the big screen. I hope we get to see Muto Prime on the big screen one day. From Alex Cruz, a good original monster to kick off the Monsterverse. He's excited. He's hyped. I was so hyped for the movie when I first saw the trailer. And then from Just My Cats and Me, it's okay, but I wish they hadn't used something new to kick off the MonsterVerse.
So you would have preferred something old.
I'm in the same boat. I would have wished to see something, but yeah, introducing new fans. But it's 10 years now.
Godzilla is the old thing in that movie.
I think I'm over it. Yeah. You know, it's fine. It is what it is. All right, hit us with some Discord.
Let's see here. From GeigenFan_1972. Yes, finally the Mutos. I've been waiting ages for this, and I definitely want to learn more about these four-legged beasts. Really excited for the episode. So I agree with you, it's a four-legged beast.
Hell yeah. From Blue, design-wise, they're cool. I really dig the design, and they remind me of the bugs from Starship Troopers. Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do. So. Even the head shape, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
With the female Muto.
That's 2 days in a row we've discussed Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Why did we bring that up yesterday?
Because I think we're talking about that Helldivers video game that came out. All right. The red slit eyes are sick and give them a lot of charm. Story-wise, they're just kind of there. They could have contributed more to the overall story of the MonsterVerse, but in the actual movie, they do their job well.
Yeah, they do pretty good. From Bad Sir Yeti. Wasn't my ideal first kaiju for Godzilla to fight on his big Hollywood return, but seeing that they were to have him straight up kill Muto for the conclusion, I'll take that rather than him killing off a more established kaiju, which I think I would have been upset about if they killed off an established one as well. So I think it's probably better they went with something new that they could throw away.
Yeah, I think that's a fair insight. That's respectful. Because it's like, hey, it's Gigan, and then you get one movie, he's dead.
Yeah, that's a well-known kaiju. Right. You can't kill that immediately.
Yeah, unless it's like a later movie in the franchise, you can kind of accept it because then you know the status quo. Oh, he's going to show up and kill a kaiju.
So yeah, if they like brought back like Anguirus and killed him, I'd have been upset.
Oh, I'd have cried.
I'd have been very upset.
Yeah.
Or Baragon. Poor Baragon.
Dude, I think the fans would have rioted.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Can't kill the best boy.
Sweet. Well, I mean, they did kill the best boy.
You can't kill him immediately again.
This is my favorite comment so far. I'm not even lying. From Sue Wave. The Mutos are pretty nice once you get to know them. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. And then we read go up to David SO or OS008. That's a pretty good comment.
All right. As the first antagonist monster for the return of Godzilla in an American release, kind of lackluster, but overall an interesting design. I did like the sexual dimorphism aspect of the Muto. So I'm assuming means male and female differences.
Yeah, how they look different.
Yeah, like how some creatures in the wild have like different characteristics for male and
fish
female.
And bugs and birds and shit.
Yeah. We rarely get male and female counterparts to kaiju, so having that on screen and being different really adds some diversity. I remember seeing this movie in theaters and being young, I thought originally it was supposed to be some weird four-legged mix of a less spiky Gigan with the hooked front legs and almost visor-like eyes and beak. I can see that from a young person's perspective. Also, I'm sorry for starting to lose my voice near the end there.
I hated every second of that last sentence that you wrote.
Sorry, I started to get a frog in my throat. But yeah, I can see the Gigan-like features if you tweak it a little bit. Like, make it not hunched over, just standing
up. I can see the reasoning.
Yeah.
And then last one, we got a new commenter in the Discord, so I'll read this one. From the RR Phoenix. I really like the sound design these guys had in the movie. Yeah, like the fucking Foley artist is really cool.
The clicking,
and then I love Foley. Like, dude, if there was like a career I could have maybe tried to get gotten into when I was younger, and if I'd known it exists, Foley artists, like, that's like really cool. You just kind of like stomp around in mud and like squish potatoes and you make sounds. Like, hey, that's...
Yeah, so like just the guys who take random crap together and see what sounds it makes and see if it works.
Yeah, put it in a movie. Yeah, it's like, dude, like, that sounds like legit.
I've seen videos of like people doing that, and a lot of like gun sounds are like rubber bands or balloons or something.
Yeah, it's like really cool on how like just the simplest things are like these iconic sounds. Comic continues, legitimately scared the shit out of me. The Mutos made this movie borderline horror, which we've discussed. Yeah,
the final
past.
Fight being really dark kind of made it horror-ish.
God, the movie's so fucking dark, dude.
Yeah.
The movie's so dark.
Like, you gotta have a 4K TV to tell what's going on.
I don't know. I've been seeing clips of it. I don't know where it came from. I'm sure our fans can let us know where it came from. But like, there's people have digitally brightened the scenes in San Francisco, so it's actually like viewable.
Yeah,
and it's like fascinating. I can actually see the movie for the first time. Kind of, it feels like.
Maybe because we didn't watch the Blu-ray, we watched the DVD.
I watched it on Max, so whatever that is. And then we saw it in theaters. Remember, in theaters it was dark too.
Yeah,
and that was IMAX.
Yeah,
so
I'm guessing they were going for a dark ambience, but I think they went too dark.
Well, also it was dark because the fucking EMP happened.
Yeah,
sure, I get why that's dark, but also it's just,
you know, like, you don't got to make it hard to see though. Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna get into the Mudos themselves. All right.
Yeah.
I looked this up. I wanted just a little tidbit of information I found for myself. It's from Reddit, the source. So.
Who knows?
It might not be 100% accurate, but it's probably pretty close. Some nerd like with a stopwatch. I wanted to see what the screen time was for each monster. Because it's like Godzilla's not on screen a ton in this movie. And the Mudos feel like they get a way more screen time. So this guy timed it. And here's the results. Godzilla on Godzilla 2014 gets 9 minutes, 29 seconds of runtime on the screen.
Which is about average for a Godzilla movie.
I mean, some Godzilla movies. Like... Like, there's a couple here where it's, like, almost 30 minutes. Like, there's a whole list of all the breakdowns of all the Godzilla screen time. Some of them almost 30 minutes. The male Mudo has 6 minutes, 48 seconds. The female Mudo has 7 minutes, 22 seconds. So, combined, and some of that's on the screen at the same time.
Right.
Mudos have more combined screen time than Godzilla.
Like, they have, what, roughly, like, 12 to 15 minutes total to combine?
Well, what's 12 and 6 put together, Charles?
Well, I'm taking into account when they're both on screen.
You had the 48 and the 22. It's
about for subtracting when they're both on screen at the same time.
About 14 minutes, my guy.
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I'm growling at him.
Yep. Yep. They probably didn't hear anything we both said because I was talking over and you were talking over me. Because I wanted to make you feel bad about yourself.
I will never feel that about myself. I am very self-confident.
Okay, to a fault. All right, so yeah, just a fun fact there that the Mudos combined have more screen time than Godzilla. I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to look that up. I found it.
So that means it was a Mudo movie.
It's a Mudo movie, baby! That's why people love this. People were like feral for this fucking episode, so...
How much of a landslide was that vote? I didn't check the scale.
I cut the voting off on Thursday. It's now Saturday. But as of today, because the voting poll is still technically open, Manila had 11, Mogura had 18, Mudo had 24, Gypsy Danger with 4. At one point, it was Mudo at like 21, and Mogura and Manila both had like 10.
No, so it was basically
it was a landslide for a while. I don't know when the extra Mogura votes came in. It might have been post Thursday when I said voting was closed.
Gotcha.
But yeah. All right, so Chuck, describe to me in great detail how each Mudo looks. I've never seen this movie before. What do they look like?
All right, we'll start with the male. So the male is the smaller of the two. He is the one with the wings. The wings look kind of bat and moth-like in design. And their eyes, like we read in one of our comments earlier, they have like visor looking like eyes. It doesn't go like across the face, but like it goes from like their eye and like sleeks back a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a slit or like
slit and it's all like glow, and both of them glow red.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a narrow.
They're very hard angular.
Yeah, very angular, sharp, cornery kind of looking.
Yeah.
Very boxy looking heads, but good design still. For what they were. And they have multiple sets of limbs.
They're very gray.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of like having like shark skin or like rhino skin.
Or elephant skin.
Just not as wrinkly, but more smooth.
Or like the skin of a gray wrapped car. I was just trying to name other gray things. I'm sorry. I'm fucking with you. Keep going, bud.
It's like smooth, gray, blackish skin.
Yeah. Look at that picture of them now. Like, they're kind of bug like. And they're very angular. Like, their design doesn't, anatomy-wise, doesn't make a lot of sense to my brain. It is very Starship Trooper in their shape and shit. Like,
yeah, like, their mouth and stuff, like, hooks like the beetle monsters from Starship.
Well, and the way their
Starship
legs are.
Troopers.
The way their legs are.
Can't talk anymore.
Yeah, and then the female one is just bigger with no wings and a bigger head.
Yeah, and larger front arms.
Yes.
Whereas the male didn't have very big front arms. He had smaller frontal limbs. But the female, like, she's like a Hulk type version of it. Like, she's got big front arms.
Yeah, so she has like the four stompy legs and then four other smaller little handy arms.
Yeah, so she can grab you and then just throw a bunch of little jabs.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe it was something to do with like holding onto like the eggs of the babies or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of an animal that...
Imagine if a kangaroo had another set of small arms to hang onto the Joe.
Yeah, instead of a pouch, it's just got arms down there.
Yes, I don't know. I don't like that. No, that makes me uncomfortable.
That sounds like a body horror movie.
I don't like that. All right. What's the height of this of these big things?
Yeah, we can get into their height and weight. The height for the male is 200 feet, so about 61 meters.
Sure.
The female is 300 feet or about 91 meters.
Okay.
Their weight is actually fairly different. The male is only 15,000 metric tons, whereas the female is 60,000 metric tons. Those are some really big arms.
Yeah, that's the size difference.
Also, she is sizably larger than him. Yeah. She's like at least twice his size.
Well, weight-wise, more than twice.
Yeah, she's much more bulky as well.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what the wingspan on the male is. I'm unsure.
I didn't look that up. I don't want to look that up. I didn't look it up. I don't want to look it up.
Fair enough.
It's probably around 200, I'm guessing. I don't know. Usually
it's nowhere near the same as Mothra's.
Nothing's as good as Mothra's.
Her wings are beautiful.
Hey, what does Mudo stand for, my guy?
Mudo stands for Massive Unidentified Terrestrial Organism.
There you go. I'm looking at it and you're trying to do it from memory. It's impressive.
Took me a second, but I slowly remembered each acronym.
All right, so I looked up, when I was doing research, I found this video, and it was like the video of the life cycle of the Mudo. I forgot
While trying to remember real quick, the male Mudo was designated Hakmuto, while the female was designated Femmuto.
Yes.
That's how we know the difference in name.
So the video kind of went into more of the comic books and explained the life cycle of the Mudo really a little bit. So I want to do that. From the top of my head, because I don't have the video up
right
now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, as we know in canon of the movie, the Mudo Prime laid its eggs inside of Dagon, which is another Godzilla-type monster from, like, the 10th or 11th century.
Was that Godzilla's dad or just a relative?
It was at least the same species. I don't know if it was his dad or his uncle or his cousin twice.
We don't know the relation, just that they're similar species.
I don't know if Godzilla has a family tree. I don't know.
Someone's got to look into that.
Ask Adam Wingard or whoever.
I'm gonna look into that.
Okay,
I'll find out.
So basically, they ate the radioactive core of Dagon and incubated for like 1,000 years, right? Until he's like nothing but bones. Hence, we see that in the movie. And then they were both little egg cocoon motherfuckers. And then the male broke free, and this is also in the movie. We saw this. And then he has to go and eat some more radioactivity. So he can, like, grow his wings.
Yeah.
So he can go to another cocoon form. So there's, like, two cocoon forms for the man. We don't know what the larval form looks like when he's crawling around before he eats the radio.
Yeah, we never got to see it, but we do know it was tunneling underground. So it could at least burrow.
So he's gathering, like, the energy of the radioactive stuff while the mama is technically also sister. Weird, but bugs. Hey, bugs. Animal kingdom's weird. Animal kingdom's weird. Like, bugs and animals do that shit.
Yeah.
So. That one is like growing bigger and then it does eventually come out. And then ideally the male Mudo brings more radioactivity to the mom so she can use that to feed the eggs that she's going to lay because they feed off radioactivity energy. And then eventually they would all hatch and basically terraform the earth.
Yeah.
Which is wild that they're like they're from the earth and they have to terraform it.
Yeah. Actually, this sounds like a reference to the 1998 Godzilla movie, where that one just reproduced asexually and had like a shit ton of eggs.
I literally described a male and a female Muto, and their whole point is to try to bang and lay eggs, though. So there's not a lot of asexual.
I'm referring to like just a swarm of babies taking over the planet.
Okay, fine. Circle gets the square, Charles.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll take that.
I get it.
I'll take partial credit.
Okay. Congratulations, bud. So then their whole thing is to terraform the earth. And then they have to like, there is this weird, like, there's the guy theorized from the comic books that there's like a civil war of Mudos once there's so many to figure out who's the new Mudo Prime. Because there's only allowed to be one Mudo Prime, and that's the one that like lays the eggs inside of another Godzilla monster to create like a mating pair. I don't know if the other eggs that were hatched are mating capable or not.
That is a good question.
The video didn't really go into that. Basically, also, he went into like this hierarchy of how like there's another stage called Queen Mudos, which is what we saw in the Godzilla King of the Monsters when that Mudo came by and bowed.
Another one.
So like the battle between the Mudo, like the last one standing becomes Mudo Prime, which is weird to be like, we have to like terraform the earth and we're going to kill each other to make one really strong one. So start over again.
I mean, that sounds like nature taking its course with population control.
Damn, nature, you scary. That old Family Guy.
Yeah.
You're welcome. So yeah, I watched a video on that and I'm like, this is interesting because we don't read the comic books a lot.
No, we really don't.
So it was interesting to see like the Mudo Prime stuff with that. And like it did go into like how Mudo Prime got wrecked by Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
Although, the comics did also explain why Godzilla's dorsal plates look different in the new movie,
Mudo
right?
Mudo Prime blew them off.
So he had to regrow them and they came back his more traditional look.
So the way Godzilla in the comic books killed Mudo Prime was like, he put him on his back and then did like a really strong atomic blast through his spikes.
Yeah, so they were all broken. It just was like an unrelenting blast of energy through
his spikes. So then when he fell to the ground all hurt, Godzilla just stomped on his head. It was like, hell yeah, dude.
Curb stomp the Mudo Prime.
So
no big deal.
That's a light Mudo Prime episode. Unless he shows up in the movies, we don't really do comic books or video games, so we mostly focus on movies and TV shows.
I think we made an exception for this one since there's more info about the Mudos in the comics than the actual movie.
Yeah, so there you go. There's an abridged Mudo Prime episode also. You're welcome, everyone.
There you go. She got a short comic episode.
All right. Fact or abilities of the Mudo that we see in the movie.
Well, as we know, they have their electromagnetic pulse, which not only shuts down electronics like any pulse would, also weakens Godzilla's atomic breath because it needs a bioelectromagnetic trigger to go off.
Yeah, which is interesting. Also, like, by that theory, the heart uses electricity to beat?
Yeah.
I wonder if it would be able to, like, if it was strong to, like, because it's so big, would it stop the heartbeats of humans? It doesn't on screen, but like if using that same line of thought to weaken the atomic breath, could it just flatline animals around it? Humans?
I think that's a continuity error there.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, no, see, that makes sense to me because if you actually think about it in that movie, like in the later movies, Godzilla has way more stamina, but when he's fighting the Mudos, he has to take a breath several times.
Because the EMP weakens him.
Yeah, so that would make sense. So why didn't the humans just kind of drop?
Yeah, or like
wildlife. If it's weakening something that big, why isn't everything else just dying?
Right, because like even the jets, when they're coming in to shoot Mudo and the EMP goes off, those are supposed to be like EMP resistant jets and they still get...
Yeah, they just go wiped. Down.
So,
Something they missed there.
It's an interesting question. I don't know. I'm not saying they missed it. Maybe
they didn't think about it.
Maybe our line of reasoning is off in thinking. I don't know.
Oh, but just Logan, think about we're it, never though. Wrong.
Think about it. What?
I said, we're never wrong, Logan.
No, I'm wrong all the time, dude. I'm wrong all the time.
We are very fallible.
I'm very fallible. I'm wrong all the time, and I'll admit it. But then I move on really quickly, and I want you to forget about it. That's how I do it. Am I being wrong?
Whenever you're wrong, you just glaze by like, it really
quick. Yeah, sure,
okay,
and then I just move on immediately.
Whenever I'm wrong, you point that out.
Oh, no, I gotta make you feel bad about it. It's how I make myself feel better, Charles. All right, so... They can absorb radiation, because, like, they eat it, so then the atomic breath, like, their skin is resistant to it.
Yeah, so that's why they could take those breath attacks. They also have echolocation, so they can track each other for movement and communicate over long distance.
That's like a big part of the first half of the movie. I completely forgot about the echolocation.
The male has flight, obviously, because he has wings.
And he can swim.
And the female has much more physical strength and durability.
Like, the guy swam from the Philippines to Japan.
A lot of people don't realize that, but they don't really point it out in the movie very much, but it does happen.
That's like probably 12 to 1,800 miles.
That's how he gets the sub.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to dive down and get the sub, the radio.
Yeah, and subs can go fairly deep, so...
Yeah, that boy can swim.
Which also means they probably have decent sensory skills if he could detect a sub that far underwater.
Yeah, I wonder if their echolocation helped them with the identifying...
It's got to be kind of like a dolphin's where they can just read the location of things like that.
Look at us.
Yeah, because dolphins also do like the clicky noise for echolocation, and the Mudos also make a clicky noise. They're like dolphins! Oh my god!
They're bug dolphins.
That's why they have smooth skin.
Oh. So, fun fact, I don't want to put her on blast, but my girlfriend really hates dolphins.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you've actually mentioned this
before. I definitely mentioned it on the horror podcast I did with her like years ago. But like, yeah, she really does not like dolphins because like...
Is it because they're bullies?
Because they're bullies and they get a little sexual assaulty.
Yeah.
So she's like, no, fuck dolphins. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, fuck dolphins.
Like, they're really intelligent.
And then they have the hooky claws.
Yeah, like a mantis.
We discussed this really briefly before we started recording. But I don't think King Kong is able to beat these two kaiju.
I think his only strategy would be just start breaking limbs. But with the bulkiness of that female's arms, that might be difficult, especially with the flying one fucking with him.
Like, I don't think Kong has the durability to take the damage they gave and shit, especially when they're tag teaming. Like,
yeah, it might also matter if like their electromagnetic pulse to slow down Kong like it did Godzilla.
I mean, if we're going by our theory of it would stop wildlife's heartbeat, it would maybe give him heart palpitations and slow down. I don't know.
True. I mean, we know Godzilla has like an atomic heart essentially, but Kong doesn't. So maybe that's why it affected Kong and not people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, these Mudos basically seem like they're designed to deal with Godzilla's species.
Right, like they evolved to fight Godzilla.
So if I had to guess, their pulse probably fucks with their species specifically, which is why people and other animals didn't just drop.
Taking away even, like, taking the EMP out of the fight, if it's just Kong versus the two Mudos in a city like it was Godzilla versus the two Mudos, I don't think Kong does as well.
What about with
Maybe
the
that's my bias, because I just really don't like Kong, but...
Yeah, true. I don't like him very much either, but I think he might stand up a better fight than what you are giving him credit for, but I still don't think he...
I guess it depends on who's right in the movie.
Yeah, really, probably. But... I also still don't think he would come out on top.
Yeah, and I mean, Godzilla got very little help from the humans. It was just them blowing up the eggs.
Like, the female got distracted for a few minutes.
Yeah, which, like, was the turning point for Godzilla to take them on one at a time.
Because he needed to just get back up.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. No.
Honestly, while he was on the ground getting pummeled, he could have just tail swiped the female in the face and got up then too. To be honest,
or tail swiped her to knock her down.
Yeah, just
too,
swept the legs,
the knees. Yeah, sweep the knees.
Yeah, so I think the human interaction there was very minimal. It wouldn't have helped him.
Right, and he didn't do it directly to help Godzilla. It was, we need to blow up the eggs to save the planet.
Yeah, so their goal wasn't to help him, but to prevent their extinction.
Yeah,
which is smart.
And it just happened to help Godzilla a little bit.
Two birds with one stone.
All right. So we talked about the abilities. Do you want to talk about like where they came up with the idea for the Muto and bullshit? So like the design wise. You're in a big yawn. That's a big yawn, Charles.
Oh,
that was a big
yawn. Sorry, I did not get very much sleep last night.
We were up till 2 playing Baldur's Gate.
You were up till 2.
Did you keep playing?
I was up till like 3:30.
You're still playing Baldur's Gate?
No, I just couldn't fall asleep, and I was really annoyed by it. I just laid in bed till almost 4 in the morning, and I got up at like 6:30.
Why'd you get up so early?
Because I have to take the dog out in the morning.
Just take it out at 3 in the morning, before you went to bed.
I took him out a couple hours prior to that.
All right. I'm not going to tell you how to be a dog dad.
Yeah, I mean, I took him out, like, before we got on.
Mm.
Which was around, like, 10.
Right. We played for, like, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, Baldur's Gate. Get Baldur's Gate. It's really good.
Yeah.
You'll be up until 2:30 in the morning playing with your friend.
Yeah, because I got off of work at, like, 9:30, got home at 10. Like, hey, Chuck, let's play. I'm like, it's late. So, and we hop on.
It wasn't even that. I sent you a message. Do you want to play? You ignored it for an hour.
Oh, yeah. So we got on at like 11, actually.
I was playing my solo run, and then you hopped in like, hey, I'm good to play if you want. I'm like, all right, sure.
Yeah, fuck it. Late night game session.
Next thing we know, it's fucking 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, I got to go to sleep.
Yeah, you were like struggling to stay awake at
one
point.
Even before you hopped on, I was like struggling to stay awake. I'm like, I might go to bed soon.
But then he's like, oh, Baldur's Gate with friends. I have to.
Chuck's getting on. All right, I'll fucking play Baldur's Gate with Chuck.
Yeah, if you said no, I just would have done my solo run for a couple hours before going to bed.
I'm trying to make sure our run stays ahead of your solo run.
So, we're way ahead, buddy.
Because, like, I want to see all your fresh reactions. I've played the game all the way through once, 1.5 times already.
Fair enough. Actually, hold on. How far am I in my solo run?
I have no idea. I haven't seen your solo run.
I...
This is fascinating. No one wants to hear about this bullshit.
All right. Just turned into a boss game.
So the design of the Mudos, basically, they took the flying Mudo, they based it off like bat wings, and then like also the X-Wing from Star Wars, which is kind of cool. And they based the skin off of like rhinos and elephant skin and bullshit.
Yeah, dark grayish, sleekest skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and then in our headcanon, also based it off of the bugs from Starship Troopers.
Yeah, bam. Because
that's our headcanon.
We know what things look like.
We noticed two similarities. All right, let's get into like the goddamn appearance of the movies.
Or I guess the plot of the movie.
Yeah, well, their participation in the plot. We don't do the breakdown of the whole plot. Basically.
So yeah, beginning of the movie, excavation unearthed Dagon's corpse with a couple of
cocoons
in it. One of them's already busted open though, mm-hmm. And that was the male who went and attacked a power plant and caused a meltdown. Then much later in the timeline, because we get a bit of a time skip there,
a lot of human interaction during that time.
Yeah. The Mudo went after it attacked the power plant the first time, cocooned itself to absorb all the radiation, is now beginning to hatch, and when it does...
The humans built a facility around it to enclose it.
And we don't find out that it was Monarch until later on.
Right.
And that was our first interaction with Monarch.
Yes.
And then he wakes up, he breaks out of the containment thing they did, which seemed really basic for a kaiju containment cell.
Also, the cocoon was weird. It was all, like, kind of weird and hooked.
Yeah,
like, when he hopped out, I'm like, how did that fit in that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it, like, curled up into a ball, like, animals and, like, eggs.
Yeah, well, maybe it was, like, a caterpillar to a butterfly. Like, they literally turn into, like, liquid.
Yeah.
Like, which is kind of crazy, so... Maybe he was liquid until he hardened.
Yeah, maybe.
But the humans try to, like, destroy it because they're like, fuck, it's about to come out.
So yeah, they tried to fry it with electricity or something.
Yeah, but then it breaks down and he was like, no, bitch, I'm already good.
Yeah, dude, my skin's hard. I'm ready.
So, yeah, we get the attack on the nuclear plant part two.
Yeah, he breaks out and then he just takes off.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't think he flew. Did he fly at that point?
He did. Fuck, dude.
I think he did.
I don't remember.
It's been a minute since we watched that one. He either flew off or walked off. I think he walked off, but the military later on says we now have a flying monster to deal with. So I think maybe he just kind of jumped out and ran off.
Sure. So basically what he's got to do, he's got to find more radiation.
Yeah, he starts hunting down sources of radiation.
For the mama sister.
Yeah, hence the sub.
Yes.
And once the humans figure out that they're after radiation, they're like, well, wasn't there a second pod? And then I think Monarch says, yeah, you guys dumped it where you put all your radioactive waste. And they're like, wait, what? Fuck? Shit.
Yeah, they put it in the Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah. So they sent I don't know why they thought this was going to do anything, but they sent like an assault foot soldier squad, just basic guns to go find this thing. And I'm like, hey, why are they being
300 foot monster? Yeah.
And they're like so super tactical. But I mean, I guess it's probably military protocol to be tactical at all times. I'm like, you guys know your guns aren't going to do anything to that, right?
What is this, a kaiju for ants?
Yeah.
like they're ants and shit. They're just like, all right, here's a fucking Zoolander reference, M14 by the way. Or whatever is going to do nothing.
Yeah, they find its cell, but it's already woken up, busted out of the wall and everything, and it's making its way to, I think it was San Francisco.
Going to San Francisco, but it also makes a pit stop through Vegas where it destroys like half of Vegas.
Yeah. I think the final destination was San Francisco, but it like walked through Vegas. Because
it was like because they had the scene on the screen where all three were like heading
converging,
towards it.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like a spot, like they probably weren't meeting to go. They're like, hey, let's go to San Francisco for the weekend and hang out. You know, it was probably just like, hey, I'm coming. Oh, I'll meet you there, and we'll meet. And the meeting point just happened in San Francisco.
And Godzilla was following the male.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to hunt him down.
Yeah,
because
there was we saw a tiny fight in Hawaii.
Yeah. Because that's where
we saw it on TV screens.
Yeah, the male Mudo dragged the sub to Hawaii, and Godzilla showed up at that point to try and deal with them.
Yes. So this movie plays peekaboo with Godzilla the whole time. We talked about that in our legendary episode.
Yeah.
Which does lend it to the horror movie aspect of never showing too much of your monster, which is the rule in horror. So they do kind of like lead up to it and stuff. So yeah, we see just the snippet of the fight there, and then again it cuts away. More human interaction. So then we get them transporting more nuclear material on a train.
Yeah, I think the point there was to lure them out and then detonate it and then just kill them all with the sheer force of the blast rather than the radiation.
Yeah, or they didn't want to detonate that in the woods. They were luring it to somewhere to detonate it later, but it wasn't to detonate it in the woods.
They definitely didn't want to detonate it in a populated area or somewhere where it was going to make a...
Yeah. Also, which is crazy, though, because, like, historically, like, America wouldn't want to detonate it on their own planet, on their own country. We have. Like, New Mexico's been bombed to shit like crazy for testing.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. Like, if you saw, like... where in the world nukes have been tested and dropped, like, America's like number one or number two where we've nuked shit. It is all like in the desert, but it's crazy fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they're transporting the material on a train, and we get like, this is kind of a really high tense fun scene.
Yeah, I think this is the most horror based scene other than the final fight
scene.
Yeah,
it's humans versus monster, because the monster wants the material. Yeah,
the flaming train was a nice touch.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, and then the soldiers are like hiding on the fucking bridge and shit, and you see it walk over them and has all the belly full of glowing eggs and stuff.
Yeah,
like, it's a really cool scene. Eventually it does get the material, right? It's
wild. Yeah, there were two nukes on that train. It took one of them, and the humans were able to salvage the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then as they're transporting the other one where they want to lure the monsters to, the male Mudo steals it. So now the Mudos have both those nukes, and apparently that was enough energy for the female to feel comfortable with starting to make a nest and lay the eggs, where they also put the nukes.
But then there was the whole luring it out to sea with another nuke.
No, that was... they wanted to go recover the second nuke that the male stole, put it in a boat.
Oh, right. Yeah, they took it and put it on the...
Yeah, they took it, put it in the boat so they could get it out to sea so it didn't go off in city.
It was kind of a funny, weirdly humanizing moment when, like, the male Mudo did bring the female Mudo the nuke, and they handed it to each other with the mouth, and then she grabs it with her hands and put it next to her belly with all the eggs. And it's like, that's like oddly humanizing, because like when a human's pregnant, like, oh, touch the belly, like, oh yeah, put his headphones on, weird. let the kid listen to Mozart or whatever. It's like, oh, here, little baby, here's the nuclear component, it's gonna help you grow big and strong. It's like, this is oddly humanizing.
It just gives some depth to the Mudos, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Make them look more like intelligent social creatures.
Yeah, but even though for the most part they are instinctual animal monsters.
Yeah.
Except that one humanizing moment. So, Mama lays eggs in underground, right?
They kind of punch a hole into the ground.
It's in like a subway system, right?
I think, yeah, they punched into a subway system.
Something like that, but it's underground, and the humans are like...
I mean, it's San Francisco. Anywhere you dig, you're going to make a big-ass hole.
Right, well, because it's all hills.
Yeah.
So the humans are like, not today. So then we get the really cool scene where the humans jump from the fucking plane.
Yeah, the halo jump.
Yeah, and like, there's like fighting there with the kaiju there, and they're like kind of like trying to dodge and shit. Great scene. That's my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Yeah, that's looks really scary to jump into a city from absolutely. That, well, doing just that, like, that way.
The sound, the ambiance, the flashes of the fight, them not seeing through the clouds.
The darkness, smoke. That was still somewhat visible.
Yeah, the smoke trail. Like, that's a great ass scene. That's such, like, people kind of shit on this movie a little bit. Yeah, going back and watching it retrospectively 10 years later, it's a great
movie. Yeah, you gotta appreciate what they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, like, is it the best? No. Could they have done better for the first Godzilla movie in America? Yes. But it's not bad. It's not nearly as bad as, like, not a lot of people shit on it, but they definitely kind of look down on it a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Because, like, King of the Monsters is, like, fan service up the wazoo.
Yeah, like, going from that to King of the Monsters is a huge leap in betterness.
But this is a good movie. This is my second favorite MonsterVerse movie, hands down.
Yeah, I probably mine too. I wasn't that big of a fan of the Kong versus Godzilla
neither
movie.
Neither was her.
Because it felt like more of a Kong movie.
I'm a little more excited for the new one coming out in a month or two, but I still don't think that's going to beat this movie. 14.
No, it's still, even the new one still sounds like it's going to be more of a Kong movie.
Yeah. Because he's got the fucking Doomfist glove.
Yeah.
Like, you saw the trailer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because the humans are all about helping out Kong, and they're like, oh, well, Godzilla can take a backseat.
And Godzilla's there, too!
Yeah, like, Godzilla's, like, your main defender here. Like,
right.
He's got to be the star.
Yeah, well, it's also you're paying for the trademark from Toho.
Yeah, like, how are you gonna make him the fucking star? That, yeah.
Like, you already have you own the trademark for Godzilla, for King Kong. You're renting the trademark for Godzilla. Make it his fucking movie, you know?
Yeah, let's not piss off Toho and make it sound like a waste.
Like, no, I don't think Toho probably has a lot of say on, like, how he's portrayed in the movie.
Yeah, probably. Like, don't make him look weak.
Right. You know, it's like a wrestling booker, like, gotta make Roman Reigns look strong, you know?
You actually have to work to make Godzilla look weak, though. Like, but it's got to be hard to make him look weak.
Because I mean, you could do it.
After they blew a hole through the center of the earth with him, I think it's a little impossible now.
That is, yeah, it's a strong, it makes him look really strong. But then also they make Kong look like he could take him in a fight almost.
Yeah, they did.
Which is confusing. So then our head canon is like, oh, he's tired from blowing a hole. He was tired from blowing a hole in the center of the earth.
And running
That's
all
why
over the...
King Kong had a shot.
Yeah, running
tired.
All over the place and just blew away half his energy in one blast.
All right, let's finish this movie. So that we get the final fight, finally. I mean, there's, again, hints of the fight. We don't get to see it because the humans are running into shelter.
Yeah.
So it teases the fight a lot. And the final fight is like 5 minutes, which is a little short, but it's really good.
Yeah.
So it's the tag team fight. 1v1, Godzilla has an obvious advantage. They're just not able to hang. They don't have the long range
capabilities.
Yeah,
he's got the size and strength on both of them.
Yeah, but the EMP does slow him down considerably.
Yeah. Even his atomic breath is like not even at half power.
Right, because as we discussed, it takes the electromagnetic pulse, yeah, whatever, to like, it takes electricity to start the bio.
Yeah, his bioelectric trigger needs to be able to.
Yeah, bioelectric MacGuffin, whatever, to make it go boof. So he's able to kind of. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So the fight, basically, what I remember most of the fight is when the male kaiju, like, grabs Godzilla and, like, drags him, like, 100 yards, 200 yards. And, like, oh, shit, he's got some strength to him.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then the scene when Godzilla is, like, pushing the Fiumamuto between the two buildings and the Muto's, like, trying to grab on and stay up.
Yeah.
And she still gets crushed. So that happens first, then the male Muto, like, drags Godzilla, yeah, away so he doesn't crush
her. Yeah, he, like, throws her through the buildings, knocks her down, he's about to stomp on her, and the male Muto just kind of drags him off before, yeah, he can.
So, like, that's a good little choreographed section of the fight.
Yeah.
And then they kind of get the advantage and, like, get Godzilla down, they're stomping on Godzilla, and the male Muto is, like, flying up and jumping down,
yeah,
onto
just
him.
Jumping pile drivers.
Which is like, hey, that's 15,000 tons, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah. And so, like, their claws are sharp enough,
yeah,
to, like,
and they're
poke
biting
him
at his neck and shit.
Yeah, they're poking him and they're biting him. They're drawing blood.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's looking rough for Godzilla, but I think if the humans didn't intervene like they did, because here's where they light the eggs on fire,
yeah,
and they turn away and look at the eggs, gives Godzilla a chance. I think even if they didn't do that, I think Godzilla still turns that fight around.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think just one tail snap on the female would have knocked her off balance enough for him to, like, shove, yeah, her away and get up.
Or if he was able to get a blast off, because it still did, he does finally blast,
yeah, it's not like he can't do the atomic breath, it's just nowhere near as powerful
yet
as it should be.
Also, he hasn't yet at that point,
yeah,
so I think if he's able to get it off even while laying down, it's enough to stagger them back. He could have got back on his feet,
yeah,
you know,
like, would have freaked out the flying when he would have backed off, while the female would have been the one that most likely got blasted and knocked back by it.
Yeah. So then it's a 1v1. We do get the Akana Katana blast scene where it hits the female and she's like, what the fuck? But it is a weaker blast.
Yeah.
But then
it looks more like a flame than a beam.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. But then we get the death scene for the male.
Yeah.
Which is a cool death scene.
The female, like, goes off after the male distracts Godzilla again to kill the humans who blew up her babies, but she's hell bent on that.
Hell yeah.
So the male does a kind of tries to mess around with him a little bit, and then Godzilla kind of grabs him and throws him.
No, he tail whips him.
I'm getting to there.
Oh, well, fine. Fuck me.
Godzilla grabs him and throws him with his mouth, but he recovers midair and then does a big loop around to come in for a second flyby. And Godzilla's like, I'm tired of your shit. Waits for the moment for him to fly next to a building and just tail snaps him into the building, and the building spears him.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that was a...
I was like, damn, that's
cool,
a cool kill. That's a cool kill.
I felt bad for the Muto, though, because he was like... Ugh.
The light goes
off. Yeah, the light goes off. You get to see the light go off. I'm like, oh, poor guy.
And then Godzilla takes a second to, like, all right, one down. Gotta catch my breath. Oh, no, fucking building.
Yeah, the building he tail snapped him into, like, becomes unstable and just falls on him. He just falls to the ground, covered by the building.
Yeah, it's like, oh, womp womp. Then we get the humans and female Muto, because the humans get the bomb on the ship, and they're like, we're gonna take it out to sea.
Yeah, and then the female catches up to them and just starts smacking them around.
Just wrecks some humans, then comes up on the boat and, like, does the face-to-face look
the main human from the human side of the
right
story.
I don't
remember his name.
His real name is, like, Aaron something. He played Quicksilver. That's all I remember.
Really? That's who that was?
Yeah, Quicksilver from the Avengers movie, not from the X-Men movie, the Avengers movies. He was also Kick-Ass from the Kick-Ass movies.
Oh my god.
You didn't know that?
No.
Charles.
Oh my, he looks so different in the Godzilla movie. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him in anything since then. Since the Godzilla movie? Maybe Avengers came out after. I don't know, but
did it when
also his wife in this Godzilla movie is also who plays Wanda. So he plays, they play husband and wife.
Oh my god, that is her.
It's... And then they play husband and wife, but then also their brother and sister.
Oh, I don't want to think about that. No.
You're welcome.
Why you gotta ruin both movies?
It's not ruined. It's just actors can play different roles.
Fair. It just sounds weird.
They're different characters also.
True. It just sounds weird when you explain it.
So then Godzilla grabs her before she can do anything to the boat.
It just bites her on the neck, pulls her back.
And then the best scene. I think this is the number one scene still in any, for me, any of the MonsterVerse movies. This still might be number one.
Yeah, he once he pulls her back, he grabs her mouth and pulls it open and just gives her the kiss of death and just beams right down.
Her head falls off and you just hold onto the head while the body falls. And
yeah,
just kind of throws
gives
the
off
head.
A roar, drops the body.
Oh, God, that's so good. I'm trying to think what other scene could beat that scene in the MonsterVerse.
I know in the Kong vs. Zilla movie, the Mecha Ghidorah tried to do it to him. Like, he's trying to pry his mouth open to give him
the Mecha Ghidorah trying to do it to him.
Mecha Godzilla.
There you go.
Tried to do it to him.
I don't think for me... All right, blowing the hole to the center of Earth is cool, but it's, like, over a long couple of scenes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of just, like, one iconic scene, and I think...
Dude, Burning Godzilla.
See, that's number two for me.
Hmm.
That's number two for me. Yeah.
That's number one for me, only because you see Mothra in each explosion.
Right, which is cool. Maybe when Ghidorah does the alpha roar and like Gigan or not Gigan.
Yeah, that visual looked pretty good. Rodan
comes in and bows. Also, like the storm with Ghidorah. Really cool. But I don't think those beat Kiss of Death for me personally. I don't know. I'll think about it. But I think Kiss of Death is still number one for MonsterVerse for me.
I think my favorite funny scene is when Ghidorah first comes out of his icy imprisonment in the north, and Godzilla shows up and tries to blast him with his beam, and Ghidorah's heads just dodge the beam and then fire back with three of them.
He's like, oh, we're doing this again, motherfucker.
Yeah, just like a bunch of like noodles just dodge a fucking laser. I'm like, that was fucking funny. Holy shit.
You know what? Maybe when King
like
Kong
Godzilla should have aimed for the
when Kong flatlines, that might be my favorite.
Like when he dies.
When he dies. No, but yeah.
Return to monkey.
Fucking. All right, everyone. That's been this fucking episode of Mudo. Hope you liked it. I do the plugs. Here's the plugs. Charles, check out my other podcast, Godzilla Destroy All Podcasts. That's
yeah,
podcast.
I want to totally listen to myself all the time.
You do, buddy.
I like to hear myself talk, not that much.
Lost Legends, Tales of Third, my D&D podcast. We're in season 4. I'm playing an artificer kobold named Sam Berger. I'm just adorable little baby. Honestly, Charles, it's been wonderful being a side character and not the main character for 3 seasons.
Big Boots had a good too long.
Oh my god, dude. I like having to be the person to push the story along for 3 seasons to now just I get to be the asshole that sidetracks us and wants to talk about like bugs or lizards. One
or how the rest of your family is named after burgers.
I love it so much. It's so much fun being a side character. Yeah, that's Lost Legends, Tale of Thorn. Check out my dice. If you play D&D, check out my dice store. Check out my content making for the dice.
Even if you don't play D&D, just buy some dice.
At MingoBearResin.com. Appreciate it, Charles.
They look very pretty.
Thank you. I got some, I'll be making some new ones. I just got a new vinyl in. Like a record vinyl, and I'm gonna make dice to match the record vinyl.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say I'm gonna shatter the vinyl and put pieces
no,
in.
No, dude, I paid $40.
Don't do that.
I paid $40 for that vinyl. I'm not fucking just breaking it.
Find an old one, shatter that.
I have old black ones, yeah, I guess, but no.
Wait, they're not all still black?
No.
I don't buy vinyls. I don't know these things.
I'll show you. It's really cool. You'd like it. It's green. Green's your favorite color.
Ooh, emerald green, forest green, or light green?
It's like a. Not a forest green. It's not a light green. It's between forest and light.
So it's just base green.
I suppose. It's kind of like this LaCroix can right here. Sort of. Like a lemon green.
I'll save my judgment for when I see it.
It's literally right downstairs. I'll show you right after I hit done. We need to do the tier list for this motherfucker.
Tier list Mudo.
Low S, I think. High A, low S for me. Mudo Prime, probably mid S.
considering that they're only good against Godzilla since they're built to fight him, I'm going to put them like mid A.
Mid A?
Yeah.
All right, put that against Mothra. I think they wreck Mothra. Against Rodan. They wreck Rodan. Against...
I don't know about wrecking Rodan.
They wreck Rodan.
I mean, if they get him on the, if they get him on the ground, yeah, but they have no range thing to knock him out of the air. The male would have to take him down by himself, and then the female could help at that point.
I bet that electromagnetic, the EMP is gonna fuck with him.
I don't think it'd fuck with Rodan. Like magma blood though. The only reason I think it fucks with Godzilla is because he's got electro.
I just don't like Rodan that bioelectric, much. So
well, still. Godzilla's got bioelectric.
I think body. Kong doesn't stand a chance. I
think anyone who is primarily on the ground is probably going to struggle. But anyone who can fly and outdo.
I think Mothra can stand a chance.
I think anyone that can fly and outdo the male can take him out first and then just do aerial attacks on the female until she's subdued.
What's Rodan going to do to hurt the female Muto? What is Rodan going to do?
He might struggle against a female. I think he could take down the male. But he's going to struggle once he has to fight the female.
Yeah, so it's a 2v1. We discussed this is a 2v1 situation.
He would fight them one at a time, though. He would at least take down one. I'm giving them A because if they're fighting an aerial opponent...
They're at least
only,
high A.
Yeah, I'll give them high A.
Like I said, high A, low S. Like, they're not mid A. Like, mid A...
I can't put them in the S category. I'm sorry.
I can respect...
They're not strong enough to...
At least they're high A. At minimum, they would be high A.
Because... If you compare him to the other S ranks that we've put up there, like, Ghidorah's gonna one-shot both of them.
Yeah.
He's taking them both down immediately.
Because we discussed, like, Ghidorah might be top S tier.
Yeah. Like, the two at the highest top are probably Godzilla and Ghidorah.
Yeah. But the fact that Godzilla was able to take these on 2v1 with their design to take on Godzilla,
yeah,
I think makes Godzilla look even stronger.
A little bit, yeah.
You know?
And keep in mind, this was a weaker version of Godzilla at the time, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been much stronger since then. He'd probably clap them now.
Probably, yeah. Clapping them cheeks. That's what that means. It means to clap them, means to clap them cheeks.
Yeah.
You dirty boy.
I don't add the cheek part. It sounds weird.
All right, that's been our episode. Thank you so much for listening. Charles, why don't you lead us on out?
All right, no problem. Thank you guys again for listening. And like always, we want you to remember to thank God for Godzilla.